Day 6028. The next day, a Sunday, I wake up as Ainsley Mills, allergic to gluten, afraid of spiders, proud owner of three Scotties, two of which sleep in her bed. In ordinary circumstances, I would think this was going to be an ordinary day. Nathan emails me, saying he wants to meet up, and that if I have a car, I can come to his house. His parents are away for the day, so he doesn't have a ride. Rhiannon doesn't email me, so I go with Nathan. Ainsley tells her parents she'll be shopping with some friends. They don't question her. They give her the keys to her mom's car and tell her not to be back too late. They need her to babysit her sister starting at 5. It's only 11. Ainsley assures them she'll be back in plenty of time. Nathan is only 15 minutes away. I figure I won't have to stay too long. I'll just have to prove to him that I am the same person as yesterday. Then that's it. I don't think I have anything else to offer. The rest is up to him. He looks surprised when he opens the door and sees me. I guess he didn't really believe it would be true, and now it is. He looks nervous, and I chalk it up to the fact that I'm here in his house. I recognize it, but already it started to blend into all the other houses I've lived in. If you put me in the main hallway and all the doors were closed, I don't think I could tell you which door led to which room. Nathan takes me into his living room. This is where guests go, and even if I've been him for a day, I am still a guest. "So, it's really you," he says, "in a different body." I nod and sit down on the couch. "Do you want something to drink?" he offers. I tell him water will be fine. I do not tell him that I plan on leaving soon and water probably isn't necessary. As he goes to get it, I study some of the family portraits on display. Nathan looks uncomfortable in each of them, just like his father. Only his mother beams. I hear Nathan come back in and don't look up, so it's a jolt when a voice that isn't Nathan says, "I'm so glad I have a chance to meet you." It's a man with silver hair and a gray suit. He's wearing a tie, but it's loose at the neck. This is casual time for him. I stand up, but in Ainsley's slight body, there's no way I can meet him eye to eye. "Please," Reverend Poole says, "there's no need for you to stand. Let's sit." He closes the door behind him, then chooses an armchair that's between me and the door. He is probably twice Ainsley's size, so he could stop me if he wanted to. The question is whether he'd really want to. The fact that my instinct is to wonder about these things is a tip-off that there may be cause for alarm. I decide to come on tough. "It's Sunday," I say. "Shouldn't you be in church?" He smiles. "More important things for me here." This must have been what it was like when Red Riding Hood first met the Big Bad Wolf. What she felt must have been as much intrigue as terror. "What do you want?" I ask. He folds his leg across his knee. "Well, Nathan told me the most interesting story, and I'm wondering if it's true." There's no use denying it. "Nathan wasn't supposed to tell anyone," I say loudly, hoping Nathan hears me. "While for the past month you've left Nathan hanging, I've been attempting to give him answers. It's natural that he should confide in me when he's told such a thing." Poole has an angle. That much is clear. I just don't know what it is yet. "I am not the devil," I say. "I am not a demon. I am not any of the things you want me to be. I am just a person who borrows other people's lives for a day." "But can't you see the devil at work?" I shake my head. "No, there was no devil inside of Nathan. There is no devil inside of this girl. There is only me." "You see," Poole says, "that's where you're wrong. Yes, you are inside of these bodies. But what's inside of you, my friend? Why do you think you are the way you are? Don't you feel it could be the devil's work? I speak calmly. What I do is not the devil's work. At this, Poole actually laughs. Relax, Andrew, relax. You and I are on the same side. I stand up. Good, then let me go. I make a move to leave, but as I anticipated, he blocks me. He pushes Ainsley back to the sofa. Not so fast, he says. I'm not finished. On the same side, I see. The grin disappears, and for a moment, I see something in his eyes. I'm not sure what it is, but it paralyzes me. I know you so much better than you give me credit for, Poole says. Do you think this is an accident? Do you think I'm just some religious zealot here to exorcise your demons away? Did you ever ask yourself why I am cataloging such things, what I'm looking for? The answer is you, Andrew, and others like you. He's fishing. He has to be. There are no others like me, I tell him. His eyes flash again at me. Of course there are, Andrew. Just because you're different, it doesn't mean you're unique. I don't know what he's saying. I don't want to know what he's saying. Look at me, he commands. I do. I look into those eyes, and I know. I know what he's saying.